Happy Christmas, Doctor. And happy Christmas to everyone else, too.
You're listening to Pieces of Eight, the Doctor Who podcast that Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without. We're continuing our exploration of those sections of the Doctor Who universe that feature the incarnation of the Time Lord, as played by Paul McGann. I'm Rebecca Chapman.
And I'm Kenny Smith, and you join us on Christmas Eve as we resume our quest to feature the Eighth Doctor's exploits. Whether on screen, in books, novellas, full cast audio, short stories, comics, animations, talking books, magazines, and more.
Indeed we do. And today we are celebrating the story that many regard as the greatest Doctor Who audio adventure of all time, including myself. Because for once in this 24-run series, I can go, I really liked this one, Kenny.
Unlike the books.
I know, I have the book. I have read some of them. I really need to get my butt in gear next year.
Yeah, it's good.
It is. So, I know that yesterday I mentioned that I might have some news today, considering, or hoping that everything went well. But I had my sex scan last night for the baby, and we're having a little boy. And we're going to call him Arthur. So it'll be Arthur and Merlin.
Oh, congratulations. That is amazing news. That is really, really brilliant. You must all be so excited. Delighted for you. Delighted for you, for James, and of course, most of all, for Merlin the cat. But no, delighted, and I'm sure that everybody will join me in congratulating you all. But right, let's move on. What are we going to talk about today?
The Chimes of Midnight is what we are doing today. Written by Robert Shearman and released in February 2002.
Oh, this is, I love this. I mean, Chimes, I first, you know, got a bit of inside track on it back in 2001 when I did my fanzine, The McGannzine, and that was looking at the first series of McGann audios with Storm Warning, Sword of Orion, The Stones of Ennis, and Minuet in Hell, and did a preview of the second run because they'd already been recorded by that point, even before the first ones had been released. And I got Rob Shearman's email and dropped him a line and asked him for a wee preview of it and told me some amazing stuff and just thought, this sounds fantastic, a creepy house, and time is obviously going to be going awry in some way. And I thought it was going to be good. I didn't realise it was going to be this good, as did most of us, I would imagine.
Oh, I remember the first time I heard it, because obviously that wouldn't be too long ago for me. in the last 3 years, anyway. And I remember you telling me about it at the time and convincing me to listen to it. And I remember thinking, oh, you know, it's coming up to Christmas. Like, I'll be able to get into the Christmas spirit a bit. And it's the Eighth Doctor. I love the Eighth Doctor. This is fantastic, you know. And Charlie. Awesome. Yes. So, it's the Doctor and Charlie. I love both of them. This is going to be great. And then I listened to it and I was like, that is the best thing I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah. It's scary. It's moving. It's got everything you'd want. It's proper drama. There's character development. We learn more about Charlie's backstory and the tragic story of Edith Thompson. And just, I mean, this also makes you think about that life that people must have lived and the fact that they had a life in service and nobody would talk to them. They were bullied by their work colleagues. And the only person who sort of showed any kindness was a member of the household and didn't even, you know, do that much. All it was a smile and a nod of thanks and appreciation. And all of a sudden, Charlie's become Edith's best friend. And that is a horrifying thought, to think that that could happen to anybody. And I'm sure it more than certainly did. It's the sort of thing you can imagine with the way of the world having the way it was then and indeed the way it could be now. It's quite a terrifying thought. You've got this joyous, wonderful occasion, Christmas, which we all look forward to, but we do need to remember there are those who are not having good Christmases. And in all sincerity, I do know what that's like, as I know you do too. And things do get better. I mean, that's something that we do need to assure people. When I know this sounds really ridiculous and serious, considering we like to be a fun podcast, but genuinely, if there's people out there having a rubbish time, you're not alone, and you know you can always reach out to us and such likes, because we've both had rubbish Christmases and things in the past. So yeah, you know we're here. Let's cheer it back up again. But there's that joy at the end when everybody is, well, maybe not quite everybody lives, but yeah, when Charlie and the Doctor are able to get away and Edith starts humming away to herself with Hark the Herald Angels Sing and everything else. It's just, it's joyous. It takes you through all the emotions.
It really does. I'm sorry, I'm getting quite emotional.
Oh, Becca.
I know. Oh, goodness. But yes, as you said before, I continue cheering this statement. We are here. We are always happy to talk to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you're never alone. And that's, we've both been in that horrible place and we've both got out of it. And we're both in far better places than we were before. So yeah, it does get better, believe us.
Yes. So there.
But yeah, let's chat a wee bit about the release itself. I got my copy as a subscriber to Big Finish back in the day. It came through the post in a little white padded envelope. And I was so excited to listen to it. A Christmas story released in February, effectively. But it was fabulous. And I knew the first time I'd heard it, I just thought, yep, this is one of the greatest Doctor Who stories ever. And I re-listened to it again, I think, the next day. And that just confirmed that, yep, this is brilliant. Such a good story. And of course, it was reissued as a vinyl a few years ago. And I have a copy, and that's the one that I tend to listen to because I just love that old crackle. Mm-hmm. When you hear the David Arnold version of the theme tune going, you just get that lovely little extra crackle on there.
Now I've got a record player, I really should get the vinyl version.
Oh, they're very hard to find now.
Oh no.
There's a few Doctor Who records you can pick up from Big Finish, but Chimes was a very limited one along with Spare Parts, which is also a Christmas type of story, but not quite.
I wonder if anyone's selling one on eBay.
Have a look. Yeah, but yeah, it was lovely. And of course, Big Finish back in 2020, the summer, did a listen along during lockdown so we could all hear this, and I was asked to be involved to write tweets to go out with factual behind the scenes information. So I raided my old fanzine files and brought everything together and put together a tweet a minute for the duration of the story, because I knew the timings as to when each episode would be starting and how long they lasted. I actually didn't have to put out useful, or at least I hope they were useful and interesting tweets. So they'll still be out there somewhere if you want to go and have a look for them in the Twitter sphere. I remember you listening to that one and just having a ball. It was just such a lovely social event, people coming together to listen to it. Paul McGann took part. He was texting his comments to Steve at Big Finish, and he was popping them out on the Big Finish Twitter feed. And it was just such a joyous occasion to be involved when something horrible and serious was going on. And here we were, the middle of summer, listening to a Christmas story. And it was a lovely communal feeling.
It was. It was fantastic. I remember seeing your tweets and thinking they were really interesting. So do not worry. They were definitely interesting.
Good. Well, I have to say that the most obscure one, I think, was the fact that I got, I think it was a frame from the Dandy or the Beano when Ian McLaughlin, who's one of my friends, he was also a Big Finish writer. And he was writing for, he was one of the Beano or the Dandy strips. And he put in, and now on the radio, it's a very creepy play, The Chimes of Midnight. I've still got the frame somewhere on my hard disk. And
that is brilliant. So
there's a little subtle reference making its way into the mainstream. So there we go.
Anyway, I love that so much.
To celebrate and to get us all in the Christmas spirit, and I don't just mean the music score behind us. Yes, that is the original Chimes of Midnight score. We asked people on Twitter for their thoughts and chimes, why it's so special and why it means so much to them. Also, I should say, thanks to Russell Stone for the music. He is a pal and he is a genius.
He is indeed. Thank you so much.
Becca, could you please remind us what the Big Finish website has to tell us about The Chimes of Midnight?
I can indeed. And I can actually get my reading voice.
Oh, excellent.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. But something must be stirring, something hidden in the shadows, something which kills the servants of an old Edwardian mansion in the most brutal and macabre way possible. Exactly on the chiming of the hour, every hour as the grandfather clock ticks on towards midnight, trapped and afraid, the Doctor and Charlie are forced to play detective to murders with no motive, where even the victims don't stay dead. Time is running out, and time itself might well be the killer."
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Thank you.
Very, very creepy. And I hope that chilled all our listeners too. Everybody
it
who sent
me.
In. Their... Oh, good. Well, maybe you should put on a blanket as well. Keep cozy.
I'm wearing a giant fluffy hoodie. I'll be fine.
Oh, an hoodie, but without tentacles. Somebody should make an hoodie. Yeah. That would be amazing, the hoodie. Sort of grey colour, but with big tentacly bits.
Yeah. I would buy one.
Oh, me too. There you go. There's an idea for merchandisers. Sadly, I don't know any who make clothing, but there we go. And here's how the official trailer sounded. Or sounds, because it still does.
Doctor Who, The Chimes of Midnight.
Well, Charlie, where are we?
I don't know, Doctor. It's too dark. You were supposed to be getting me to Singapore, you know. 1930, remember?
An Edwardian Christmas. How lovely.
I never much liked plum pudding. Cook always used to make far too much of it, and we were still picking our way through it by New Year.
Oh, I love a bit of plum pudding, though.
Charlie, there'll be a death here soon.
Edith, what are you saying? Who's death?
I can make you warmer than that fire ever could.
Can't you just leave it, I said?
I only wanted a kiss.
Always been your favourite, ever since you were a little girl.
It certainly has. You'll make me plum pudding forever, won't you? Even when I'm grown up.
There'll be another murder soon, and everyone will forget me. Don't you forget me, Charlie.
Oh.
Mr. Shaughnessy, you're pointing a gun at us.
Yes, sir.
That's not a very nice way for a well-bred butler to behave, is it?
You are not to go upstairs. It is not our place. We only go upstairs when we are summoned.
Please. Don't leave me here on my own. Doctor! Doctor, where are you?
Of course, it's not proof. I mean, I suppose I could be lying when I said I didn't kill her.
Oh, yes. As of course could I.
Stands to reason. Once you've committed murder, a bit of fibbing is hardly going to bother your conscience, is it?
It's mocking us. Whatever this force is, it's mocking us.
Yes, it's enough from us. It's nearly time to hand over to our fabulous listeners, and you're going to stuff our ears full of Christmas pudding-like goodness with your thoughts on this amazing story.
Indeed. Quick question.
Yes?
So, I have to ask, is our good friend in Belgium, Tina Peters, involved today?
She certainly is. Tina has sent her thoughts, as this was the story that she discovered, and that made her learn who the Eighth Doctor is. And ever since then, she's been cosplaying as him. And Oh, talking of cosplay, I spotted on somebody listed a thing on Amazon, or it was on Twitter, and it was a link to a very similar quote to the Eighth Doctor for about £180, the big finish blue leather one. I thought, I love that, but I can't justify £180 on it. So if I win the lottery, I'll be having one of them. If not, I'll just be having my usual jacket. So there we go.
That's it. That's understandable.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's go over to our listeners.
Indeed.
Hi, it's Matt Michael. The Chimes of Midnight, what can I say about The Chimes of Midnight? I think it's the sixth Paul McGann audio, and he gets, for his sixth play, one of the all-time classic Doctor Who stories in any medium. I think coming at the start of the second series of Paul McGann stories for Big Finish, it really kickstarts the arc around what it means for Charlie to have both died on the R101 and then survived, what that means for the people who loved her and what it means for the Web of Time. So it's a really important story for the ongoing plot that's developed in the run-up to Neverland. But more importantly, it's just a damn good story. It's got brilliant sound design. It's got superb performances. It has real emotional heft. It's almost like a Sapphire and Steel, but I would say it's better than most Sapphire and Steels because it has more sort of connection to real human emotion through the Doctor and Charlie. And sometimes Sapphire and Steel can be a little bit distant. The Doctor and Charlie really feel this adventure, and I think Paul McGann and India Fisher are absolutely their peak. I think this run of Eighth Doctor stories, and in particular The Chimes of Midnight, are why The Eighth Doctor and Charlie is the classic Paul McGann pairing. I absolutely adore it.
Hallo und guten Abend. Mein Name ist Sabrina und ich komme aus Deutschland. Hello and good evening. My name is Sabrina and I'm from Germany. So we all know Christmas is coming again and it's the best time for listening again to The Chimes of Midnight. It's like Mrs. Bradley always says, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without one of her plum puddings and this adventure of the Doctor. As a great fan of Paul and India, this is my biggest favorite of their adventures. What I like the most on this particular one is the mysterious murder story and the way the Doctor and Charlie are trying to solve the magic behind it. It has parts of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, which I always enjoy every time I'm listening to it. And a very heartwarming story which takes place in the good person of Edith. In my opinion, she is definitely an inspirational person and the heart and soul of this wonderful Christmas story.
Hello, I'm Elliot Thorpe and I've written for Doctor Who and Robin of Sherwood, amongst lots of other things. The Chimes of Midnight by Mr. Rob Shearman is a delicious plate of plum pudding that needs to be consumed in one serving. Christmas is an incongruously marvellous time of year for ghost stories, and Chimes taps into the premise with considerable ease. There's a delight to be had hearing Paul in India in a plot-rich setting, and having Charlie describing her initial surroundings in a cupboard, okay the larder, without resorting to bad radio dialogue is testament to Rob's huge talent as a writer. Rob himself, however, did feel that the script was written in a rush, and was intrigued as to why it was so popular. As a writer myself, I know we're eternally criticising our own work, forever deleting chunks of dialogue or passages of prose because we can't get across what we're trying to say. There's always something new to learn, no matter how proficient or prolific a writer is, and that's a good thing. It's a craft that always needs honing. So the fact that Rob wrote Chimes in a rush again shows his immense talent. The script oozes menace and bubbles with malevolence as the swooping narrative takes us along for the ride, catching us unawares, mostly, as we dive into one scene then the next. This era, this early era, of the Eighth Doctor's audio adventures is simply stunning. The production under Gary Russell and Jason Haig-Ellery was at its finest, and we hadn't even got to Scherzo or Neverland at this point. Barnaby Edwards' directorship is second to none. He draws from the cast and the crew every ounce of their talent, and is audibly on show as each minute passes. The world building on display here I just adore. There's so much to like about The Chimes of Midnight, and it has every right to be an immensely popular entry in the Doctor Who canon, let alone one for the Eighth Doctor's tenure. And Rob should definitely be proud of this particular play.
A very Merry Christmas to Kenny and Rebecca from Jonathan Melville here in Edinburgh. Kenny asked if I wanted to send in a few thoughts about Chimes of Midnight, and I had to admit I'd not heard the story in quite a few years. I did hear it when it was first released. Back then I was really excited about the Eighth Doctor adventures and was buying them every month, and I still have a lot of the CDs in the house, but I'd not heard it in a long time, so I downloaded it on the Big Finish app and had another listen, and the memories kind of came flooding back to me. The one, I suppose, the main thing that always sticks in my mind is the line about Christmas isn't Christmas without the plum pudding. But also just the sound effects. It's such a, as with all the Big Finish, I think, Big Finish stories, I think sound and the soundscape and what they build up for you to listen to is always incredible. And with this one, I think that ticking clock that's always in the background and the music is beautiful. But I think, yeah, just that tick, tick, and then the chime. Yeah, just... Loved hearing it again. India and Paul are on top form, and just that mystery is built up so beautifully by Rob Shearman, and you know what's happening. Is it evil? Is it malicious? Is it some sort of Agatha Christie type murder mystery that they've stumbled into, but with time travel and things resetting themselves? So no, just hearing again that story and trying to work out what happens, because I couldn't quite remember what happened at the end of it. It's kind of, for me, I suppose, it feels a little bit like watching the Box of Delights every, I I don't watch it every year. I used to, but I kind of save it now and watch it every couple of years, the BBC's big Box of Delights. So yeah, I think this is another one of those stories, adventures, productions that deserves to be listened to every few years by Doctor Who fans. And of course the guest cast are incredible as well. So yeah, really just to, I wanted to say thank you to Kenny for asking me to listen to this again. It was a real pleasure, and I hope everybody enjoys it and everybody has a very merry Whomas. Cheers.
Why I Love Chimes of Midnight by Andrew Storr, aged 52 and a half. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's over 25 years since I first listened to Chimes. At the time, I was limiting myself to just the Eighth Doctor stories. How foolish and naive I was. Despite listening to hundreds of other stories in the intervening years since, it's still a firm favourite, alongside Deadline, also by Rob Sherman. Why? Well, it's daft. When the character assumed the murders are suicide, it's not normally sort of something that you'd laugh about, but it's delivered such deadpan delivery, you can't help but be amused. The plum pudding, of course, often quoted, always true. It really wouldn't be Christmas without it, would it? What else? The similarities to the Space Museum Part 1 and Sapphire and Steel, that sort of unnerving what-the-hell's-going-on kind of feel. The Doctor being expected as the representative of Scotland Yard. I think that was the first attribution he was given. But the other thing that I really like is when Edith sings about God and singers, it always cracks me up, which probably isn't best when one's singing in church. But there you go. I could go on, but I'll stop there.
I'm Cara Dennison, and one reason I love The Chimes of Midnight is because it was released on my 21st birthday, and I just feel a kinship with it for that reason. When I first heard it, I liked it because it was creepy and it had the Eighth Doctor in it, and for college me, that was more than enough. But, like, over the years, my feelings on it have had time to simmer, I've listened to it more, and I realize what a perfect example it is of all its composite parts. Like, it's the best kind of Robert Shearman story, for one, the kind that that starts eldritch and unknowable and terrifying, and then it slowly zooms in to be very personal and warm and comforting in a weird way. This could slip so easily into his anthology, We All Hear Stories in the Dark. It's the same kind of message, the same kind of story. It's also the best kind of Eighth Doctor story. As a character at this early stage, he's, to me anyway, he's like this bright, cheerful little candle lighting up a gothic library. Like, he's excited to shine a light into these beautifully dark spaces and show you that they're beautiful and keep you safe in them. And there's no other Doctor this story should have gone to at this point in time in particular. And on top of that, it really is kind of the platonic ideal of a Doctor Who story. It's the Doctor being the hero, playing detective, being immersed in this strange new world, but by the end it's the companion's emotional journey. And to that end, it's ours too. And that's why I love it.
I'm James Hadron Bennett, and I am a huge fan of The Chimes of Midnight. Chimes of Midnight for me is a very multi-layered love. I suppose on the standard level, it's a distillation into four episodes of not just everything Doctor Who that I like, but it also brings in things like Nigel Neill's Stone Tape, you've got Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, you've got Sapphire and Steel in there, you've basically got pretty much everything in there that ticks the boxes that says, this is a release that was written for me. Paul McGann and India Fisher are on absolute perfect form. I don't think there's another release where they bounce off each other quite as magnificently as in The Chimes of Midnight. And then you've got the sound design, you've got the guest cast. Basically, on the kind of the standard level, Chimes of Midnight is perfect as it is. For me, there is a very deep emotional reason why I like it as well. When I first sat there listening to it, and you've got the various absurd deaths, you've got Charlie kind of struggling with memories and people talking to Charlie as though they know her. And then at the end, you've got this wonderful sequence, which to me is saying, if you remember people, if you actually acknowledge them, if you don't forget them, then they don't really die. That whole package was just perfectly timed, because the day after listening to it, I went to the funeral of a close family member. And actually, the funeral was okay, because in my head, I had so many wonderful feelings about celebrations of life and of death and everything like that, that Chimes of Midnight for me is now an intrinsic part of my attitude towards living.
Hi, this is Sarah for the Pieces of Eighth podcast. The Chimes of Midnight is probably one of my favorite Eighth Doctor audios to date because the storytelling is superb. I remember when I first listened to it, it was lunchtime at work one day. I didn't finish it because it was before Halloween. I was like, it's not Halloween yet. I'll finish it after Christmas. But I did listen to it that night on the way home, and it just had me freaking out because people used to be randomly screaming at one of some certain points. And I was like, oh my gosh. But aside from that, the storytelling is just, it's superb. It's the first time in which we see how Eight saving Charlie is affecting the time stream, how the paradox is slowly woven together. And it's also got its, for a bit of a dark story at certain points, it's got its humor within it, which I think it just makes it even more enjoyable. And it's got one of the best jokes. Christmas would be Christmas on Mrs. Barley's plum pudding. Every year, everyone was like, plum pudding. So, and I actually had made it my mission to make plum pudding this year for Christmas. I was going to make it last year, but didn't get a chance to. So I'm hoping to make some this year, because after all, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without the plum pudding. And it's one of my favorites of the Eighth Doctor stories, up there with Invaders from Mars too, and the Sword of Orion. But I think it's one of the most intense stories. Like before, is it Grey or Scherzo? Pronounced that correctly? Is Chimes of Midnight is just, it's good. It has its humorous points, and it has its dark elements woven together with some awesome storyline. It's just, with an awesome storyline. It's just, mwah. I love it. Everything about it, so good. I'm Sarah, and this is from my opinion on Chimes of Midnight for Pieces of Eight podcast.
Hi, my name is Grant Brown, and I've been a Doctor Who fan since the chap with teeth and curls ran around the universe in a remarkably long scarf. I remember getting this CD around its release back in 2002. Army 20 years ago, and listening to it on one of my many commutes around the country in the job I was doing at the time. Believe me, the Eighth Doctor adventures got me through many arduous journeys back then. Timing of this episode is perfect because I've just finished my re-listen of, I suppose you'd call it, season 2 of the Eighth Doctor audio adventures. This was the first audio I'd heard by Rob Shearman, who I know went on to write more Big Finish stories, including the awesome Sixth Doctor Adventure Jubilee. I won't mention the Holy Terror, for my own various reasons. I absolutely love the great atmospheric start with the clock, as it works so well with the Eighth's opening music, which I do always feel has an air of suspense to it. Also, I can't recall any stories that begin in a scullery cupboard. I'm sure someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that one. The Doctor saying that some mysteries need leaving alone and being genuinely scared of looking into the mystery of this old house is a nice touch for his early adventures, where in my view he still plays that sometimes emotionally led and slightly vulnerable version in the early days of this incarnation, and with the breathless enthusiasm of the TV movie. Other things I noted down were that I do like the idea of reusable crackers that had helped the environment, and it'd be nice for me and But the kids, oh, and beware of people with shifty eyes. Paul McGann and India Fisher are clearly now more comfortable in their roles, as it's clear they're enjoying what they do during this story. Aside from our erstwhile time travellers, I really like the character of Shaughnessy, who's more interested in the functions of the staff than their ever bizarre demises. I'd say this is Groundhog Day in Downton Abbey, with hints of Ghostlight thrown in, an adventure that would sit perfectly well in a smoky BBC studio in the 1980s under John Nathan Turner, or as a more larger adventure in the Russell T. Davis era. Often dark in both atmosphere and humour, a perfect Christmas mystery for all of us to enjoy. But remember, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Mrs. Baddeley's plum pudding.
Paul Guest here. Chimes of Midnight is remarkable. It's often forgotten, for all of its Christmas narratives, that it was released in February in 2002. It instantly became a classic and is eminently re-listenable, not just because of its subject matter, but it's sort of all things to all people. It's sapphire and steel on the set of Upstairs Downstairs. The guest cast are genuinely playing ciphers of their roles. It's a standalone thriller that manages to be the fulcrum point of an 11-story epic. I remember being so blown away by the story, I immediately played it again the following evening, the next chance I got. The plot exists entirely because of Charlie and the Doctor's previous actions. It's all about consequences. Everyone is on top form. Barnaby Edwards draws unsettling performances from everyone. But over the years, one particular cast member keeps springing into folk. Juliet Orner, her Mary, getting herself eroded as the house forgets Edith, is a performance that always stays with me. The entire thing is a Dickensian level of tragedy with the slimmest of silver linings. Like Christmas itself, it's a reminder of how far our heroes have come and a portent of what lies ahead. It also put me off plum pudding for life.
Hi Kenny, hi Becca, and all you lovely fans of Pieces of the Eight. I am Simone and I'm from Germany, so not so far off from the UK. Like you all, I'm a big Doctor Who fan, especially of the dashing eighth incarnation of the Time Lord. The Chimes of Midnight is a great audio adventure of the Eighth Doctor and, of course, Charlie Pollard. However, I must admit it is not my personal favourite, but it ranks definitely in my top five. It is a great murder mystery with dry humour, funny character with shifty eyes, and a lot of small ever-changing details that makes it so appealing. Nonetheless, I have one question. Has anyone ever counted the number of times the phrase "Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without plum pudding" is really said? It is funny, but it can get annoying at the same time. Still, it works with this story, and I have already lost count how often I have listened to it. So, to everyone who doesn't know it, I can say with a clear conscience, get it, listen to it, have fun with it, because it is absolutely worth it. Thank you for giving me the chance of sharing my thoughts about this absolute marvelous adventure with you all, and I wish you a happy Christmas. Bye!
Hi, I'm Tine Peters from Belgium, and this is what I think about Chimes of Midnight.
Chimes of Midnight. Oh, Chimes of Midnight is such a special one for me. Big Finish was doing a tweet along in the summer of 2020. Well, summer, it was May or May-ish. And someone I was following retweeted them, and I was like, what's this? I think the first tweet I saw that someone retweeted was Paul saying wood, and I was like, what the heck is going on here? This I want to know. So I did some digging to the Big Finish page, and I saw that you could download it. I was like, this I gotta see. Well, listen, so I downloaded it and I installed the Big Finish app, and I listened to it for the first time, and I was like, the Eighth Doctor. I don't think I know the Eighth Doctor, besides from knowing he was one of the previous Doctors. And I listened to it, and I just completely fell head over heels in love with Paul McGann's voice. By then, I didn't even know what he looked like. And just Chimes, it was so absurd. It was just, I was like, what? The house is alive? What's going on here? I just loved it so much. From the first few seconds, I was like, yes, this doctor, I love it. This is going to be my personality from now on. I mean, it was or is. Just Chimes, it's such a good Christmas episode. I love Christmas episodes. And it was just amazing. And then afterwards, I was like, what did your eighth doctor look like? So I googled him and I was like, that's what he looked like? So yeah, it for me, it was a complete package. I've not been a fan for the Eighth Doctor for that long, but I feel like I made up for it in the past few years. So, Chimes of Midnight, it's one of my most cherished episodes because it just holds such a special place in my heart because that's how I discovered everything about the Eighth Doctor and Big Finish. The episode is just, it's amazing. Also, the twist in the end, it's just Big Finish is and especially Chimes, well, especially the Eighth Doctor, yeah, that's my go-to all the time.
Hi, I'm Martin Montague, a freelance producer, director and writer, former BBC executive producer, one of the people who helped bring the Eighth Doctor and Lucy Miller stories to BBC 7. Now, Chimes of Midnight, well, it's easy to forget this wasn't released at Christmas at all, because it's such a perfectly Christmassy tale, you'd think it was released during the festive season. And it's a bit of a rarity for an audio drama for me, because it's one I've listened to over and over and over again. Everything about it is perfect. No one puts a foot wrong. Paul McGann and India Fisher, they excel as the Doctor and Charlotte Pollard. You really feel the chemistry between them, how deeply they care for each other. It's a real precursor to what was to come on TV 3 years later when Russell T. Davies brought the show back. And the supporting cast, Robert Kirbishley as Frederick, Lennox Greeve as Shaughnessy, Louise Rolfe as Edith, Sue Wallace as Mrs. Baddeley, and Juliet Warner as Mary. They all play their characters admirably, and in a lot of respects, they had a tricky job because their characters, they're more like caricatures. And that's the whole point, because these people, they're not real. They've been imagined into existence by the house, but they achieved the delicate balance, if you like, of bringing them alive and not sending them up. And the script by Robert Sherman, I have to say, it's absolutely sublime. Now, Rob Sherman, I must mention here, gosh, we've known each other years, although for a long time we didn't realise, or we sort of forgot, because I first met Rob in Scarborough in, must have been about 1993 or 1994. I was working as a BBC radio journalist and presenter, and he was working as a writer at the Stephen Joseph Theatre in Scarborough, working with Alan Ayckbourn. And I did an interview with him about a play he might remember better than me, actually, although it's all a little bit hazy. Anyway, the pair of us kind of both forgot about this until many, many years later. And I think it was, we were having a conversation about something or other, and the penny slowly dropped for the pair of us at the same time. Anyway, yeah, brilliant script from Rob. And the humour in his script is pitch black. Now, there's a temptation amongst some directors in TV and radio, when they see humour, the temptation is for them to overemphasise it. They think, oh, well, this is funny, so we've got to play it funny, we've got to play it OTT. But that's actually the wrong way about doing it. And it's a complaint that Douglas Adams always had about how some of his humour was handled in Doctor Who on TV. It was OTT, it was exaggerated. Luckily, here, we're in the very safe hands, and the very intelligent head of Barnaby Edwards as director. He plays it absolutely straight, and so the drama becomes all the creepier because of it. And speaking of creepy, the sound design and the music are both utterly terrific. Andy Hardwick on sound duties, Russell Stone on musical duties, and some of those notes and those noises really send a shiver down your spine. The ending to episode 2 in particular still gives me goosebumps even to this day. The way it drives along, the pace, the noises, the music, and then boom, in come the end titles. It's one of those productions that really inspired me. It was released in February 2002, and I was a producer at Radio 4 at the time, about to start work on setting up BBC 7, which eventually became Radio 4 Extra. And I heard Chimes of Midnight, and I just thought, wow, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to do sound design, and I want to be as good as Andy Hardwick, because he's fantastic. He's someone to really, really aspire to. And I remain envious of Russell Stone as a musician, because I can't create music. I can edit and mix music, yes. I know what music works and what music doesn't, yes. Can I create music? No. And sadly, I never got to be as good as Andy Hardwick as sound designer. He's brilliant, he really is. I caught a virus in 2019 that attacked my inner ear, and it's left me unable to handle the complexity of sound design work anymore, because I've got hyperacusis, which means that all noise really, really hurts now. So anyway, I got to chat with Andy and Russell about this for the behind-the-scenes documentary that went with the vinyl release a few years back. Top blokes, the pair of them. And it's clear that they too both really hold the story in high regard as well. I think when they were working on it, they knew this is, we're working on something special here. This is going to be great. And I think final mention should go to Gary Russell, who was executive producer at Big Finish at the time. I think a lot of people forget to credit him when discussing The Chimes of Midnight, because we had a fantastic run of stories under him. He was someone who wasn't afraid to experiment with the format of Doctor Who. I hate the expression pushing the envelope. It's overused too much, but he really did. And he had the foresight to say, yeah, this script's great. This will really work. And he was absolutely right. You know, there's so much that we can do in the audio medium. Some people think you can do anything at all, and that's actually not true. I've worked in radio for 30 years now, and I know there are real limitations, but there are areas in which you can really excel. Chimes of Midnight is up there with the very best of audio dramas, and I'd argue it's the best thing Big Finish has done in any format. It knows what can be achieved with audio, and it does it so very, very perfectly. And it knows what can't be achieved, and very wisely steers clear. I think it's so rare to get something that is so flawless, absolutely well done to everyone involved.
Wasn't that an asymmetry? We opened with somebody whose initials are MM in Matt Michael, and closed with someone with initials in Martin Montague.
I have to ask, was that Matt Michael as in Matt Michael from Doctor Who magazine?
It was Matt Michael from Doctor Who magazine.
And was that Martin Montague, as in Martin Montague, the man with the cat called Merlin, who has an egg every Saturday?
It was indeed Martin Montague with the cat called Merlin, who has an egg every Saturday. Yes, so it was quite a lovely bit of symmetry there, and both good friends of the podcast. And of course, we wish them and everyone else a very Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas if you celebrate it, and a very Happy Holidays if you don't.
Exactly.
Now, remember, if you've enjoyed this episode of Pieces of Eighth, or indeed like any episode we've done, please do leave a review for us on iTunes or your podcast host, as it means more people can find our episodes, which would be a lovely Christmas present, or cash, you know.
Both are welcome. The latter, yeah, especially good. Especially now I've got my 185 quid jacket to find and to pay for. So, yeah, that would be rather nice, wouldn't it? Anyway, but yes, also thanks to everybody who's been listening over the course of this series, because, see, we peaked at 155 in the Apple Arts podcast listens, although we're down at 160, but week one we're up at position 155, so that's not bad at all.
No, considering how many podcasts are out there, I am very proud of us.
I think we should be too. So there we go. But yeah, that's us, season 5, bringing you an episode a day, and we hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have, although editing these babies has been a bit of a challenge when we're up against the clock. Episodes 2 and 12 were actually finished not too long before it was released, after after a technical fault in the original recordings and had to do a bit of work on those, but we got there in the end.
That is true. And unfortunately, I then had to take time off from the podcast in the middle of the month because of the fact that I was in hospital.
Yes, but people wouldn't know that because we actually got around it thanks to our brilliant forward planning and the fact that we've done all right. We've done all right. So yes, we'll be back soon. We are going to do one more episode this year, and this one was your idea, Becca, so why don't you tell everybody all about it?
I've lost the purge. Sorry, no. I had suddenly managed to go away from Zoom and was like, hang on, I can't see Kenny's face. What has happened? Yes, so we're going to do a New Year's special. We are indeed, yes. It's going to be your favourite Eighth Doctor adventure, whether that is on screen, in books, novellas, podcast audio, short stories, comics, animations, talking books, magazines, or anything else.
That's very clever. Where did you get that list from? Did you just make it up?
I did.
You're brilliant.
Well, I know. The brain. But we are hoping that you, our listeners, all email us or DM us on Twitter, letting us know what your favourite story is and what it means to you.
Yep, all we need are clips of up to 2 minutes, and we'll be more than happy to include them in our New Year special. So really, until then, Becca, there's only one more thing left to do, isn't there? Don't cry.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to go.
Oh, I was just thinking I've got a piece of mistletoe, but okay, we'll just go instead then. Oh, well. Until next time, I've been Kenny Smith, and have a very Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. And if you don't, just have a great time.
And I've been Rebecca Chapman. And I hope you all have a fantastic new year as well.
Bye.
Bye.